Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 661. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
It's nice to see that in honor of Christmas and the season of giving, that they're giving Bobby Kotick the boot.
I mean, that's he's getting that golden boot, though, so...
If I'm going to get kicked in the ass...
Give me that boot.
Yeah, please do it with one that leaves me with a lot of money when it happens. So, Earl is here as well.
And I just want to say that I, too, am not paying a ransomware to Insomniac Games Week. So, they can eat my Marvel game as well.
All right. And Jeffrey is here.
Hello.
I want to know what Marvel game Earl is making.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, we'll see when they leak it. I'm not going to tell you my plans for the next, 7 years? 8 years?
Ten. It was up through, actually, it might have been longer, because I heard 2035. Next 1,000 years. No, they had data in there leading to 2035. Earl is referring to the Insomniac ransomware leak that happened this week. Whole bunch of information kind of has hit the internet now in relation to Insomniac, the games that they were making, their plans for the next decade or so. I think there's also a build of Wolverine out there. It can't be anything super playable at that point. Like games,
it's like 2.5-3 years out, right? It's not coming out for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of what leaked is it's a long way off too. I don't know. I have no problem talking about these leaks. I think they're newsworthy.
I was going to say, that's the other thing that's already come out. It's not so much the leaks themselves as it is this kind of like, we can't be talking about these leaks that has been going on. And that is
very weird to me.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what happens when your press isn't actually press.
Yeah, because there's a difference here, right? This is a Sony owned developer, Sony, the market leader in the industry, could probably put some pressure behind the scenes, but this stuff has happened to other companies before. Capcom had a whole bunch of their data leak, also employee data as well, so it wasn't like there's a difference there. Rockstar, the same thing happened. In fact, I believe that the trial of the person that leaked a lot of the Rockstar stuff last year, he was convicted today, I believe. So, I don't know. Weird that the press is handling it. Like all of a sudden, they have a conscience.
Well, it's one of those situations, there's really no way to win. Like, you don't want to encourage leaks like this, right?
Sure.
And if you discuss the things that are actually in the leak, that encourages other people to try to get this information in the same way.
The flip side, though, is because I think Perfectly, what is it? Kind of Funny Games. It's like, yes, they're not going to talk about it. But in the weeks and months and years to come, it's hard pressed not to have it come up because the information's out there. You can't put that genie back in the bottle.
And they will absolutely, maybe they won't talk about it directly this time, but like that information is going to come up next week at a show or like a few months from now when they're talking. Like the information is going to come out in their conversations. They can't avoid it. Because it's out there, they're going to look like idiots if they pretend like these things aren't the case. We don't know when this is actually coming.
Well, and outside of that, there was I thought there was some interesting financial information that kind of came out of that, where Spider-Man 2 cost three times as much as Spider-Man 1.
Which is interesting because it's not as good. Oh, wait.
Sure. I mean, it's not that it's not... I just started. I played an hour, so I can't really comment fully on the quality of Spider-Man. Seems like it's going to be a good game, but it does not have that impact that that first one had, for sure. From my side. And evidently, the one that made them the most money was the little spin-off, kind of, that was originally, I guess, supposed to be DLC. Miles Morales, which cost less than the original Spider-Man because it was smaller in scope, and it actually made the studio more money.
You mentioned these sales, you mentioned that other stuff, but I was going to say the other thing, though, is I think if you don't talk about this stuff, mm-hmm. you end up with, like, you talked about it, but like there were a lot of things like, oh, Bloodborne sold X number of things. Why aren't they making a sequel or a remake? And it's like, because if people are going to get this information, now you get it without any context, without any...
Sure.
Like, we're going to make up our own narrative, and that's what people are going to run with. So it doesn't become about the leak. It becomes about, like, these meta commentaries. It's like, why does Spider-Man cost $200 million to make? Why does Marvel make so much money off of it? And stuff like that.
And we don't know what Sony is paying Disney for this.
Right.
I did see Rami Ismail. He's an indie developer. He did throw out some like math that he did in relation to this. Like, you know, people are like surprised that Spider-Man 2 costs $300 million. And he's like, you know, I can't give full context because I'm not a AAA developer, but considering, you know, I do know how to make games, I know how to budget things, and he like broke it down. And he's basically, Insomniac has grown exponentially since Spider-Man 1. And if you take the math, just salaries alone put you into that realm.
Yeah.
Because they're such a big studio now.
Right. Plus, the games are taking, you know, years to make now that they didn't take before. Like, if a game takes 6 years, like, that's 6 years of salaries. That's so much money now.
Yeah. And I mean, especially, I assume you also, to retain top of the industry talent.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, yeah, we're going to make the same money we made 6 years ago.
I guess something else, and again, we don't have context for it, but supposedly Ratchet and Clank lost them $8 million. It did not, I guess it did not perform particularly well, which is a shame.
The budget apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like it's so poorly. It's just not so what they needed it to sound. It's like,
right.
It's that same thing. We're, you know, calling a spade. Aquaman is, you know, like, that's going to cost. That's not going to make us money back. Like, we can do, like, but you look at all the horror films this year. They, a lot of them did really well. They don't do that number. Like, they wish they had the opening of like an Aquaman or the Marvels, but like, because their budgets, it can open at $1 million and make a. It's the same thing where it's like, if you're going to make a Russian attack, maybe you don't need. Like, what is it? $80 million? I want to say it was, or something like that. But again, the biggest cost of it is ruined, and I'm not going to begrudge people getting that bread. So,
no, like people, you know, companies should pay their employees what they're worth. So,
exactly.
It's. I mean, I guess Wolverine is 2 years off at the very least. They were working on a multiplayer Spider-Verse game at some point, but that got shelved.
Well, okay, so this is something slightly different, but I'm also I enjoyed the Spider-Man games. I enjoyed, but I don't think like their form of superheroes really makes sense for a multiplayer experience because they are very cinematic driven games.
Yes.
And I was just really curious how that would translate to like a multiplayer experience. I mean, you kind of saw the same thing with like Gotham Knights, even though it's not the same studio, where Arkham is very clearly designed as a single player action game, and adding a second or four players makes it a very different, less refined experience.
Yeah, because even we talked about it last week. You know, I played a little bit of the Batgirl DLC for Arkham Knight, and you play with Robin in that. Like he's around for some fights, and like it's very cinematic the way the working with Robin works. Like you'll call him in, you'll press a special button, and he'll like do like this cinematic attack with it. But when you're playing multiplayer, that doesn't work that way because the other player needs to be in control of their character at all times.
And the other thing, if I remember correctly, with that game, is that Curio was designed as a single player game because a lot of the time the story forgets just two characters.
It's even better.
So
I still need to play that at some point.
Do you? Do you really?
I knew that question was coming from you, but.
Well, I mean, how many games have you finished so far this year? I mean, maybe you're running out of other games. There's always that.
There's never a running out of games. Like if I reach that point, we've hit a wall. They stop releasing games. Like really. Yeah. So I don't know. Do you guys think anything else came out of that was interesting or?
I mean, again, I it's one of those things where it's like a catch 22, where like I feel like there's a lot of stuff the industry should be more transparent about, and it's sad that it's like this. And I think the Microsoft week, what was it, earlier this year or last year? That was also one that was very intuitive into like the workings of a like, Game Pass and game sales and stuff like that. Where yeah, I feel like
that was earlier. That leaked actually because either Microsoft or the court fucked up. But yes, same thing.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is stuff that's important. But again, because the industry is not transparent, you end up with stuff like this where it's like, yes, you know, like it's shady as hell. And I get that. But it's like, it does help kind of understand. Because, you know, like everybody's like, oh, gamers don't know how to make games. But part of it is also like, you don't tell anybody anything. Like, you know, calling a spade, you know, kind of what movies cost. You kind of have the process because there's behind the scenes featurettes, there's commentaries, there's, you know, like Variety or the Hollywood Reporter is going to do like what wrong or how this perform, or like you have actors on actors and directors on directors. You don't have the equivalent of that in the gaming space. And I do think it's something that they should really, you know, facilitate. Not just like, oh, we, not just like, oh, we're going to like, we'll leak stuff and we'll roll with the punch or we'll complain about it. But like, actually be a forefront, like, go back. Like, how was something like Baldur's Gate? Like, where are like the features on like how Baldur's Gate 3 was made? Where it's like, you know, like people interviewing the studio to be like, you know, like we had this problem. This is how we solved it. Or this is how we started thinking differently.
Yeah, it would be nice to get more insight into how this stuff works, but they like to keep their secrets. All right. I guess sticking with Sony, Naughty Dog announced that they are killing The Last of Us multiplayer that they've been working on forever too. So
just to say, it's because I forgot that was even announced this week or that it was announced originally, but yes. Which again, kind of like the Insomniac multi, it's like, I mean, they do have a multiplayer in The Last of Us, right?
The first game they did. Yeah.
And Uncharted has them. But again, it's like, I love the Uncharted games, but I never thought the shooting was the best part of it. And that was always my problem with like the multiplayer. It's like, oh, this is kind of janky. Where like, it's contemporary. Gears of War has really good shooting, so the multiplayer made sense. Uncharted is very cinematic. That doesn't translate to a multiplayer mode.
No.
And I feel like The Last of Us would be in the realm of, I mean, they have one, but I feel like if anything, what is it? DayZ? Is that the name of the game?
That's the name of a game, yeah.
I'm thinking of the one where you kind of like, it's like an open world game where like it's multiplayer and you scavenge
for supplies. Yeah, DayZ. Yep.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I feel like that would be more in line with what The Last of Us story is, not necessarily the gameplay.
Did any of you play the Last of Us multiplayer when it first came out?
A little bit.
Yeah, so like that's kind of, I mean, it was competitive, but like you were scavenging for stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't just like a straight shooter. Like you were trying to get supplies for your base camp to, I guess, survive. I don't know. I'm not really sure how it worked, but
you're always like picking stuff up and crafting stuff on the fly. It was neat.
But yeah, they didn't want to become, I guess they realized that, you know, if they were to do this the right way, they would have to basically become a live service studio, and they did not want to do that. So that game shelved, and hopefully we'll get
Last of Us Part 3.
I guess that's what's next from them. So.
Is Neil Druckmann still there or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's interesting because
he worked on the show, right?
Huh?
Yeah, he's president. He's president of Naughty Dog. Yep. Yeah, and he worked on the HBO show. Yes.
I don't know if we ever discussed this, but he gave an interview where he's like, "Yeah, I'm kind of more interested in how like Elden Ring does narrative now than kind of like what they did." This was probably like a year ago when Elden Ring was like, you know, everyone was talking about it. So I'm like, what is Naughty Dog going to go in that direction? Like,
I don't know, but I don't know if he is he is now like the actual president of Naughty Dog, I think. So I don't know what his dealing with actual you know, how directing works with them or not. It'd still be the.
Oh yeah, good point.
But maybe, like, I mean, obviously, like, if you know, the president or co-president has a vision for how they want to see their games move,
it would be a big shift. You know, and if you guys don't believe me, you could like, Google it. Like the old.
I don't think there's anything not to believe you for.
I found it surprising that he would say that because, like. They are one of the few people to do a cinematic story, and the story was actually like good. And then they adapted it into a TV show, and that was good. And then he's just like, "Yeah, but I think it's kind of more interesting when the world's just like mysterious, and you know, you let the game tell the story." I was like, "What? That does not sound like the person that made The Last of Us."
But I'd be interested to see if Sony were to allow them to make that type of game because. I think we've talked about it. Like, even though Spider-Man and God of War and The Last of Us and Uncharted and, you know, they're all different styles of game, even Horizon or Ghost of Tsushima, but they're all very cinematic, linear type games. Even their open world stuff, it's very linear in how it is kind of their story is presented. So, I don't know if Sony would be like, "Yeah, Neil, go. You hit it out of the park 10 times for us. Go do whatever you want." Like, it would be good. I think it would be good to see them do it, but I don't know if they would allow them to. Yeah. So that's what. And I guess the other piece is that the other piece of news is kind of what Tony alluded to in the intro is Bobby Kotick leaving Activision after 33 years. He's gone.
I mean, this is kind of what happens in these mergers anyway. Like, a company gets acquired, the old boss leaves. Like, it's just what happens.
Oh, you think here is like he pretty much just like, you know, he stuck around in his golden parachute at the cost of a company morale and culture for the past, what, 4 years or something like that?
Like when all the shit started coming out about Activision and Blizzard, it's been about that when the lawsuit started piling up. So Xbox has kind of restructured their leadership prior to this. Sarah Bond is the Xbox president, so she leads the platform and hardware. And Matt Booty was promoted to president of game content, and he's in charge of all the studios, including overseeing Bethesda and ZeniMax. And I guess now he will have Activision Blizzard under his belt as well. What the hell does Phil Spencer do for?
Does he do anything?
The super. Super president or something
it sounds like he's more like the Microsoft liaison between that and the game inside.
What is his official title? Looking that up right
his
now.
His official title is Phil Spencer.
Sex God.
he is CEO of Microsoft Gaming, so not just Xbox.
Microsoft Gaming. That's not Xbox.
I guess he oversees everything. Game Pass, the hardware, the software. So I guess Matt Booty and Sarah Bond would report into him. And the only person above him is the actual CEO of Microsoft. So.
Fucking put Bobby Kotick in charge. He'll get some games out for you.
No, we don't need him.
He might not like them.
I don't know. Will he, though? Like...
Activision fucking puts out Call of Duty every year. Meanwhile, Microsoft is like, we got games coming. I promise you.
You know, Microsoft always has... They never went a year without releasing a game. You might not have liked the games they put out.
A game that's like, come on, dude. They own like 8 million studios.
And so does Activision.
Yeah. Activision releases very few games these days. It's really crazy. Since they've gone away from the licensed stuff, it's been like Call of Duty and like Diablo. There's not a whole lot else out there.
Well, yeah, sticking to what is working for them, I guess. But
Activision also probably has a deeper IP library than Microsoft did prior to the acquisition, and they weren't doing anything with it.
Where's my Tony Hawk? I take it back. Fuck Bobby Kotick. Get rid of him.
I mean, they forgot that they had to make a Call of Duty for this year. So yeah. They basically stitched the one that came out this year together.
Exactly.
So maybe it's time for some new leadership there.
I am curious if that campaign is really as short as I've heard. I mean, it has to be pretty short for them to
talk about it. You could spend the show downloading the new Call of Duty, and then at the very end of the show, when it's ready, you could turn on Call of Duty and then give us the review afterwards.
I heard it's 4 hours.
That's a shame. I've really enjoyed Call of Duty the last few years, but I skipped it this year just because I heard nothing good about it. Oh, well.
Yeah, same.
It'll be next year.
I mean, and maybe sometime next year we'll be able to play Call of Duty 3. How Long to Beat says the main story of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 is 5 hours long.
What was the average length of a Call of Duty campaign?
The thing is, people always say they're short, but I remember last year's one, it felt like it lasted me a while, but, first-person shooters feel longer to me. Hard for me to explain. I could blow 8 hours in Baldur's Gate in a day and just, around.
I feel the same way. I'm if I play through, 45 minutes of a shooter, I need a break. Like, yeah, yeah. Especially something that's intense as Call of Duty. I need to walk away for a while. So those like tend to last a little longer, even if the actual gameplay might not be that long.
Yeah, but like I do remember the one from last year having a decent amount of missions, and some of those missions would take me like an hour, you know? So
the average is to finish like the main story, which is where I pulled that five hour number from for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
Last year's Modern Warfare 2, that same main story, just like mainlining it, is eight hours long.
Okay.
To answer your question, Earl, it seems like in general between 6 and 10 hours Call of Duty. So
it's on the shorter end, but it's not.
Hey, like, it's longer than Black Ops 4, which was 0 hours.
There was no campaign, exactly. I don't know.
I do enjoy a good Call of Duty campaign. I guess I wouldn't be opposed to a shorter one, but it didn't sound like...
My issue with this one is everyone seems to be like, this is not good, like, even if you like Call of Duty campaign.
Yeah, So I was like, okay, whatever.
I like them, like you, like, right? They're a roller coaster ride. Yeah. Like, they're fun. But if this is one of the bad ones, people are going like, down. It's worse than Ghost, which I don't think is as bad as some people make out. Bad. I think there's some good missions there. Go. You should go back and play that. Don't.
Well, part of the problem with Ghost is it's like the only Call of Duty I've played not on Xbox. I played it on PlayStation 3, and like, I could not get the internet to work for me on PlayStation 3. So I was just like, I got the campaign, which I remember thinking kind of sucked. And then like just playing multiplayer just made me like hate the game even more. Like that's easily my like least favorite Call of Duty. But I think the least part of that was just my issues with the PlayStation 3.
All right. That's it for news. Last chance, guys. This is our last episode of the year. So, what have you guys been playing this week?
Ooh, I played more Star Wars.
Yeah. So last week you were a little bit on the fence.
Yeah, sure I mean, it. Yeah. Playing more like the Dark Souls-ness of it kind of fades to the background, and you kind of get into some actual Star Wars adventuring and with like boss battles and characters. Like it's more fun now. I'm enjoying it now. I think I have like the control scheme finally figured out. Switching like lightsaber stances in the right moments and that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff is all fun. I do think it suffers from one of those things that Jeff and I were complaining about in Spider-Man, which is there's some really cool sequences that have they're cutscenes.
Yeah.
That's kind of annoying. The first big boss battle, I mean, great battle, three phases. It was really cool. I really enjoyed it. And then I hit the boss, and then it switched to a cutscene during which my character beheaded the boss. And I'm just like, I wanted to do that.
Yeah. Why couldn't I?
At least you didn't have to go like ride bikes with Harry in fucking Star Wars.
Well, I mean, they do make you do some things like that, but
did they?
There's another.
Dude, that was such a huge turnoff with Spider-Man scene for me. Is like
that let's whole go play sequence.
Basketball. Let's go play basketball. Let's go ride bikes. I'm like, dude, this is so fucking boring. Why are you doing this to me? Anyway, sorry to like interrupt your flow on Star Wars.
I mean, there's another sequence where you're like escaping from the planet in I forget what, the Mantis.
Yeah.
His starship, and there's a couple of X-wings with you, and it's really exciting. But you're just watching the whole thing. I'm like, you could do like an on-rails sequence or anything. Like, why can't I participate? And it was a long like chase. It was like 2 minutes long of me just sitting here. But I'm enjoying the gameplay. I'm enjoying the story. It's fun. It's kind of like there the things like that kind of pick at me. where it's like it could be great, and it's kind of like one step down from what great would be. But I do like it. I definitely like think about playing it and like getting through like the areas. Like the locomotion in the game is a lot of fun.
I think you'll find some of the later, if you can continue playing it, you'll find some of the later levels to be really fun, because there's some like where you're really moving in that game, and you get some powers that make you move even
and you're using better. All of them. Like, it keeps kind of stacking. I don't know how I remember this game, I would keep kind of like stacking abilities and stuff. And you know, as soon as you got an ability, you're using it a lot. But then you also have to be using everything else that you've gotten along the way. And it kind of combines them into these like long platforming sequences.
And the platforming seems more varied. In the first game, there was so much sliding. I feel like I was sliding everywhere. Like
much less sliding here.
Yes, only a few. A lot of wall running. I don't mind wall running though. Like that's fine. Sliding just seems ridiculous as a mechanic in a game. But no, I like it. I'm looking forward to play more. It's decent. It's just
good.
Little things bother me. Little things.
You play anything else?
Not really. Oh, okay. I should have brought this up when we were doing news. Total War.
All right.
Creative Assembly sent out an email. I can't remember if it was end of last week or beginning of this week, saying that Total War Pharaoh and the most recent expansion to Total War Warhammer 3 did not meet their standards. And part of this was, since Total War Pharaoh was so bad, they were reducing the price from $60 to $40 and refunding everyone who had purchased the game the price difference. Interestingly, though...
And this is a game you liked.
This is a game I enjoyed. I played 53 hours of Total War Pharaoh. I thought the battles were subpar, and I think I said that a lot.
Yeah.
But the campaign was fun. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I spent my money. I felt like I got my money's worth. Now, when they said this whole refund deal, I was like, well, I'm probably not going to get anything. Because I didn't actually buy the game on Steam. I bought it on Fnatical. And, you know,
is that
got
a place
my code.
That, like, gives you, they give you the Steam code, right?
They give you the Steam code, yeah. And you can normally get the game for, you know, a little bit cheaper than Steam, like maybe $10 cheaper or whatever, especially if you're buying something that's full price at launch. So it makes it a little more affordable. But I'm like, okay, well, I'm probably going to get screwed here. And then I think it was it today? Today or yesterday? I get a message from Fnatical. Your order has been refunded. And they didn't refund it in part. They refunded the entirety of my order. So I ended up getting Total War Pharaoh for free.
Nice.
I don't know that I deserve to have it for free, but I will take it. Thank you. I can't, like, I don't know if they ended up deciding to refund everybody for this game. Like, it wasn't that bad. I played much worse games. I don't understand why they felt the need to give us all of the money back, but hey, I'll take it. I immediately took that money and, you know, invested it into the Xbox Elite Controller 2, which I haven't tried yet. Give that a spin, but it's just weird to like suddenly have this $50 that I didn't have before.
Hey, I mean, it's a good time to get $50 extra, so.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Earl, you play anything this week?
I played some more Payday 3, I should say. I think last time I mentioned it, they had they included two maps from Payday 2. So we've been trying to do one that is fully stealth, and that is just not me and my friend's vibe, so we're working on it very, very delicately as we figure out the best method for doing something that, again, is not in our best interest. I mean, I'm sure it is, but aside from that, I've been trying to finish up Mario Wonder. which still remains a really fun game. Though I will say I'm in the lava area. I think that's like World 5 or something.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
You don't love it?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know why they had to make the lava maps not complicated, but just like, oh, there's like hidden paths and like,
yeah. There's like you need to talk to the toad and he'll break something over here.
Like it felt like they got to the point where like, oh, these people probably just have so many coins laying around. Or like this is it's essentially them gatekeeping, like, oh, you gotta go back and find a bunch of these purple coins. So you have I've had a ton of them, but it's like, it's not fun. It's not like you're not finding anything. It's like, oh, you have to have 50 coins, they build this thing. Here's the rest of the world, and they've done it like 3 times so far. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, not sure why, but sure, you do you. You do you.
All right, Jeff, you playing anything?
Is he back?
Baldur's Gate.
More Baldur's Gate. Nice. I a little bit of that myself.
Can I tell you? I actually really want to hear what like Chris has to say about it, but. Quick little story from like, it's the reason I was 10 minutes late tonight because I was trying to fuck around and do something.
Sure, go ahead.
So there is a staff that you could get for Gale that is like the best staff in the game, and it's like hidden, like it is like, it's like
Gale,
in
Gale being the wizard for
any yes, reason. Yes, the wizard. It's in Act 3, and it's in a tower that's basically just like a boss fight arena. But if you, after the fight, or I guess you could, like, postpone the fight, but I just killed the dude in there. You could kind of, like, go into the background, like, you could kind of scale down the tower. It's like, you would just think it's, like, the background of the level, but you could actually get down there. And there's these two, like, globes of invulnerability that are protecting, like, a staff and a robe for him. And in order to, like, break those globes open and get the best staff in the game and this robe, you have to do a scroll of see invisibility, because then you'll see these levers that are right in front of the globes. You walk up, you know, you pull the levers, and then you know you have to do an arcana check. So you do a dice roll, and you pass that, the globe goes away, and you get the item. I didn't. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I don't have the spell of seeing invisibility. I guess I just never selected it anytime I leveled up. I could not find one in the game. Like, I went into, like, the sorcerer... Like, this tower is inside this huge sorcerer sundries place. And I went to the merchant there, and they sell, like, 50 different scrolls, and they don't have scroll of see invisibility. I'm like, what the fuck? I was, like, so frustrated. But I went back down there anyways, and I just started, like... Like, I just shot fucking... Like, I just, I think I did a spell of, like, Ice Storm or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it somehow, like, clicked the invisible levers for me and opened the globes, and I got... So, long way around of saying that, like, there's always another way. Like, you know what I mean? I always... That's a really fun thing about, like, the new Zeldas, too. It's just like, hey... If you can think of another way, maybe that'll work. You know what I mean? And that works. That applies, you know, here. But anyways, I've talked so much about this game, and obviously I'm enjoying it. I'm near the end again, but...
just nuts. Like, I'm still in Act 1. Like, yeah. I'm still... I am still in the... like, the camp that you get to after you get out of the Nautilus. So, mm-hmm. Well, I think I'm out of there now. Like, I think I've done everything in the camp, and I'm now I have some. I just reached a Moonhaven, or I don't know. It's like this little dilapidated village that is infested with goblins.
Yeah.
Who, like, I went through and I am your leader, and they were like, "You are my leader." And so, like, they're all just still standing around while I walk around there. Now that's where I stopped playing. But
good job.
Yeah, it's neat. I was telling Toadie though, it's still plagued by like some shit that those games, those types of games have always been plagued by, like some bad path keeping, bad path finding for characters. So there's like an elevator in that opening kind of camp area where the druids are at. And I went up that elevator and I thought my entire party was with me and I went out the gates.
Yeah.
And I get into a fight, like not too far after that. And I have my character and then I have Shadowheart and I have the fencer dude, Will. Is that his name?
Okay. Yeah, I've never used him, but yeah.
So like I have both of them and then I'm like, all right, well, where's my wizard? Because I want to like cast a spell range wise and like he's just not there. I was like, and I'm thinking because like these games do have like if you get into a fight or you do an action, like one of your characters might just be like, I'm not participating. So it's like maybe I pissed off Gale. I didn't see anything pop up in the corner though that said Gale disapproves or whatever. But I don't know where to. So like we killed these guys.
Switch to him and oh, move did, him towards did, the fight, and then he'll commence battle.
I yeah. did. We were already in the battle.
Yeah, but he could.
Yeah, then I didn't know you could switch to him. And so like then after the battle was over, I'm like, where the fuck is he? And I like you know left trigger pick him, and he's just stuck at the elevator. Like he's not smart enough to just walk around and go up the stairs.
the elevators in this game are the worst. I've definitely left people behind. I've accidentally squashed party members with the elevator. Like, it's just not, it's something for some reason after making these games for 25, 30 years, they still haven't figured it out.
It's so funny that like there's just these same bugs that like have happened. They've been plaguing this stuff since like the original Fallout and Baldur's Gate. They're still here now.
In that same tower where I was getting the, you know, those items I was talking about, there's a boss fight you have first. At the end of the boss fight, there's another character that has just joined me in this boss fight, and she goes up to, like, you know, cinematically kill the boss. But, like, the boss was, like, at the top of a ladder, and, like, right at the top of the ladder is where I killed earlier in the battle, and she goes up there to, like, you know, stomp his head or whatever, and, like, she's standing there at the top of the ladder. And I go up there, I have to like go up there to talk to her to like finish the mission, right? And it lets me do that. But after I'm done talking to her, I'm like, all right, I'd like to leave now. And like, I can't go back down the ladder because she's in the way. She just keeps standing there. And I go to talk to her and she's like, I will see you at the camp soon. And I was like, yeah, I know. But how about you go right now? Because so like, I had to jump, you know, whatever. I have to jump. But like, some of my party just stands there at the top and I'm like, can you guys jump down too? I like have to switch to them. Like I would switch to another party member to go to jump down, and the party members that I got down off the ladder start
following you back up. Right?
Oh, yeah. So yeah. There's weird quirks for sure.
It's just funny that like because as I said, these are the same kind of bugs that have always plagued these games.
Yeah.
They're still there.
Like there are quality of life things they've added so that you can stop that stuff, but do you really want to walk like you have your parties like four separate parties that you're like
no, absolutely not.
It's annoying.
I like so like I explored this in that Moonhaven or whatever, there's like a you can like drop down in there's like a hole, basically, like a hidden area that you can drop down to. And you explore down there. And then what I like about some of that stuff is like, as you're exploring, they're doing like perception checks for your characters.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you hear the dice rolls, like,
yeah.
And like when it's an important dice roll, they're like, you roll the dice, but otherwise they're just like rolling them in the background. And like, you'll hear the dice and then you'll see like, you know, Gale walked by something and, oh, perception check failed, but Shadowheart perception check. Yeah. Succeeded, and I wish it would highlight what she perceived, because I don't think it always does that. But cause it's like everybody failed except one, and then I was like, "What am I looking for?"
Usually, if it works, like it'll like the thing will light up and start glowing, and it's like a trap or you know whatever. Like.
Yeah, so like normally the traps do this. And this is it might just be you know how some of the selection stuff in the game works. it was just a, it was an item to, it was like a lever or something, a hidden lever, but it was like mixed in with some other stuff there. So it was hard to select it. So like when I walked over there, she wasn't selecting it. She was like selecting a potion or something else. It's like, what the hell am I looking at? And if I like wiggled the stick a little bit and something else highlighted, I'm like, oh, okay. So if I move over here, maybe I could find it. And
if you're ever having trouble like that, that you're explaining, you could click the left stick and then you could like precisely.
Yeah, it'll say it. Yeah, I did figure that out. It's like, it's still hard to sometimes select things. It easier to use like left or right on the D-pad, which will give you anything kind of in that range, but it's not the best. Like, the game is definitely made for how Tony played it, mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, remember that left stick click thing though, because there's like this giant puzzle at some point in the game. It's like this big console you have to go interact with, and it lights up all these nodes. And I stood there for like 15 minutes going like, how the fuck do I like start doing the puzzle, like lighting up the nodes? And then like I looked it up, and like people are like, dude, you gotta click the left stick so that you can start selecting which node you want to light up. I was like, oh my god, dude. Like, I was sitting there for fucking ever, perplexed at like what I was supposed to do at this console. But yeah, so it just, and like you said, or like, you know, we were just saying, like, it comes in useful when there's a bunch of items like in one tiny area. You can kind of do that precision aiming and go do this, open this, or whatever, you know.
But yeah, as Tony said, like, a lot of quality of life improvements they've made, even just over, you know, Divinity Original Sin 2, which they released 6 years ago. Some like really, really nice, you know, changes they've made.
I'm almost scared to start playing that because I'm like, so like, I'm used to this as my standard. So I imagine it'll be a little rough going into it.
I don't know about rough. It's just it's slightly different in the way it handles, and you're not going to get those perception checks or the big rolls. Like, you're not going to do those rolls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It just all happens behind the scenes. And the way that game handles like loot and stuff is a little bit different.
Is it like more randomized?
It's a little more randomized than this.
This is all completely set. I'm pretty sure, like, even down to the enemies, like, they're going to have the same thing on them.
Yeah, your playthrough and my playthrough, the equipment, the items are all going to be the same. The differences in how you approach each encounter, you know, whether you're trying to talk your way out of it or think of a different plan to handle things. So, it's all very neat. I'm quite liking it as I play along. But I also started Spider-Man 2. That's a game, I think.
It is.
Ooh, that is not high compliments. What is wrong with it?
It takes a really long time for it to allow you to play that game. It's like 15-20 minutes before the game really kind of gives you any sort of control, and then you're battling Sandman in the opening kind of battle, and it is very like, there's just not a lot of it's,
you're watching a movie
kind of, like, there are bits where it'll drop you and you'll fight enemies like little Sandmans, and it's all very tutorialized because, like, hey, we got to show you, Peter has different powers than Miles, and so we got to show you the different powers that each have. And yeah, like, it was like an hour into the game, like, I had beaten Sandman at that point, and you're still doing tutorial shit where. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing, it's the fucking combat. It's, you have to use all the goddamn buttons. Like, I don't remember the combat being so damn complicated.
Did I already tell you about this? It's like, there's so many
buttons. Why do I need to remember, like, L1 and triangle and R1 and, like, what is going, like...
Every button is combined with another button to do another function. It's just, like, insane. Like, it's I think I was saying to you guys, like, you would have to, like, commit to just playing that game, and like that game is your life to like really get down all that you could do.
Yeah, I am sure you could be like a whirlwind of Spider-Man-ness and like do it awesomely, but there's just too many controls. What's the button to web zip across to that enemy who's shooting at me from really far away? I can't remember, so I'm just going to dodge because I can't remember how to dodge. That comes up all the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's how I felt about it as well. It's like, yeah, you could probably, like, and when you are doing good, like, the combat feels good, and, like, it makes you feel like Spider-Man, but it's just like, dude, dear Lord, like, there had to be a way to kind of not make this as crazy as it is. It's truly the most controls I've ever seen in a game. And it's just like so a simple action game. Like, just like, you know, it's like a open world action game. Like, why are we doing this? What is this?
And I haven't gotten into any of, I have not done bike riding or basketball playing yet. Like,
it's a boredom, tedium between doing what you want to do, which is zip around and beat up bad guys. And it sucks. And
like, that part, the beating up the bad guys, seems good. Like, I can remember the damn controls.
Yeah.
And I'm still learning them too, because, you know, it's the tutorial section, but so it's not that it's bad, Earl. It's just like I don't think it sets the best first impression.
It's also, I think, dependent on how, like, I think I'm slowly turning you guys to my point of view, because I just think there's something dated about trying to do a game this way. Like, it's not the way.
Before I started Spider-Man, I just finished up Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Just still very much one of those games, and that game is great. Like,
I had no problem with any of those games, though, so I don't know. But that was back before I've developed my current philosophy of shut the fuck up and let me play.
Well, I was just saying, maybe it's more that we've gotten to the point where a lot of places are like, oh, this works. We can push it more and more. Like, I think we mentioned last week, like, Metal Gear, where, like, the end of Metal Gear 4 is, like, what, 3 hours or 2 hours?
It's a 90-minute
cutscene. That's fucking insane.
Of you not doing anything but watching the game.
Yes.
And I think at that time, I mean, people were like, oh, Dima. But, like, a lot of people are like, oh, no, we can do it where it's, like, we're going to tutorialize this. It's not even tutorials anymore. A lot of it is you, like, we're going to get you in. So here's, like, a 20-minute, like, the characters will tell you stuff. And we'll just have words pop up. I was just surprised because, like, I feel like the original and Miles were a bit more gameplay oriented.
Yeah, and maybe there will be more gameplay as I, like, I mean,
maybe maybe the bulk of Spider-Man 2 is fun gameplay, but, like, I've gotten to play a couple hours of fun gameplay, but it keeps getting interrupted by these. The storytelling sequence, you know, like, where you walk slow and you're having a conversation, now let's go in the gym, and now let's shoot basketball, and you're like, dude, come on, just, like, make this a quick cutscene or fucking something, man, because, like, this is not fun to, like, wade through. Like, it sucks. And there was too much of that early on in the game that I haven't touched it since. Ever since I got Baldur's Gate, I, like, haven't touched it, so... That's a game. Baldur's Gate has a ton of story, but guess what? Like, it doesn't fucking suck. It's not boring to fucking play through. Like, I don't know.
It's just, it's the different types of games. Like, the Baldur's Gate, the story, the characterizations, how you interact with things is the game, whereas Spider-Man is, you want to play as Spider-Man. You want to swing around the city. You want to, you know, fight some bad guys.
The story in Baldur's Gate is interactive. You shape it. Like, you have agency over where that story goes. In Sony's cinematic games, you really kind of don't. It's just a movie. Like, it's like interactive
bits, and which is why I think I like prior to Spider-Man 2, why I enjoyed like Spider-Man and Horizon, because like there's more to do in those games than necessarily in like The Last of Us or God of War, which are very linear in they're level based and how they project things, where the open world stuff, at least, you know, you have shit to do, but they're not even giving me the open world stuff yet in Spider-Man 2. It's like, but I played it a little over an hour.
You'll get there. Yeah, no, I mean, I was hugely turned off by the beginning of that game. Then it lets you like run around and like, oh, there's like cool like photo opportunity spots you could do in the city. Like, you're doing this open world stuff and it's really fun. Like, it's very fun. But as you progress through the story, it kept like interrupting the flow of that to like do these like, because we are telling a story, we are doing a movie. Like, you have to play through these parts that just suck. And you're just like, dude, why, like, how did this not just get, like, cut out of, like, you know, make it fun play from the beginning to the end. I don't understand why you would do that. Like, there's ways to fit the story in some other way than me walking around slowly and playing basketball and riding on bikes and having a 10-minute conversation while we're riding around on bikes. Like, it just, man. And maybe it does open, because, like, again, I'm probably only, like, 3-4 hours into that game, and maybe it opens up much more and becomes much more like just play and have fun. But I kind of doubt it, because like it did not let up while I was playing it.
Well, maybe in the first hour, they're already kind of introducing you to like, here's the big collectible that you're going to go get. Mm-hmm. Here's the, you know, you're going to go to towers and do this thing, you know, where you're going to play with the drones, because that'll open up bigger areas of the city, which will unlock, you know, more missions for you to do there. You know, there's the Sandman stuff where that's like the big collectible. And then the picture stuff, which that's where I stopped, Jeff, was where they were like, because Peter gets fired like immediately from his job. So he's like looking for a new job, and they're like, hey, you could take photos for Robbie. And that's where I stopped. So I assume that's what you're talking about. Like, you're going to the different like cool photo areas and
there's just like that. You know, throughout the city, if you press the button that highlights shit, you'll see, oh, there's a photo op over there, and you just go down and like take a picture or something. And like, I don't know, I've always enjoyed like picture taking in games, like the games that like use that, like Pokemon or Dead Rising. I thought that was really cool in the first Dead Rising, the way it would use that. But I also just love in an open world game that there's like a bunch of like little touches for you to find, and you know, so like that was neat.
Yeah, and that's what I liked about the first one too. Like, they had the backpacks and like stuff to go find, and like you're finding like little hidden things in the city. It was all kind of neat in that first one, so I'm hoping maybe as I play more of this that it'll become more of what I liked from those first two Spider-Man games, but we'll see. I think that's about it. Anything else? Tony and I played more Firefight and Halo.
Fun mode. Good.
Is it still just the King of the Hill, or have they added more features to it?
No, it's still just the King of the Hill that we played, Earl.
And you still have no idea how many things you've killed.
Yes, the score sheet is terrible.
Why? Why is that not like every shooter you've ever played has always had the kills as like the first stat? How can you leave that out? How did you forget? I don't understand.
Especially for a game that does track kills in multiplayer.
And it tracks, it is tracking it. Because, like, if you scroll through your stats at the end, like, you'll get your KDA, which is your kills, deaths, and assists, like, ratio. but it, you don't know how it's coming to that ratio. that's the only two stats. No, there's three stats. So you get your assists, they show up. You get your KDA and your average lifespan. But the other 3.5 pages are empty. Filled with zeros. So weird. We played on some different maps, though. And there was also vehicles that we were playing with. I don't remember if there were any vehicles when we played, Earl.
There was. There was that one stage you had where it was you, I think, who had the gun Warthog, and I think Walt was driving you around.
Oh, yeah, and he's a terrible driver, and he did flip us. Yeah, so there were already, I guess, some vehicles in the game. I don't know, Tony and I played on like a remake of a Halo 3 map, the one with the big wheel in it. That one was fun. While we were waiting for Walt, because he kept getting disconnected for some reason.
Because he needed to restart it. When we first hopped on there, he's like, make sure to restart your Halos. And then he forgot, I'm pretty sure. And so he kept getting kicked out and had to restart. It's his own fault.
But yeah, Firefight, good stuff. They have also added... We did not play it, but they added in higher difficulty firefights. So there's a heroic firefight and legendary firefight now. But we did not. We just played regular firefight. I think we did lose one of the matches, so it's all good. All right. That's it for what we've been playing for the year. Next time,
what a year we did, yeah. Guys! We made it almost. I mean, I don't want to like. I don't
like nine. That. There's like 10 days left.
Things can happen. Yeah, things can happen. I've learned in this life, but
I mean, we got
this far. We can celebrate making it this far.
We got the Daff from Smallville threatening to hang the president. So who knows what the next few days of the year off.
I was literally just looking at that, Earl. What the fuck?
What?
Some guy on the Masked Singer was like...
John Snyder. He was from Dukes of Hazzard, but he's also Pa Kent from Smallville.
Okay.
I guess he went on Twitter last night and he's like, I believe the president should be hung. I mean, I don't know. I don't really want to think about Joe Biden's penis. And his son. and so now he's trying to walk it back.
He should be hung for treason, which, like you said, it's not the correct usage of hung. But what is the treason exactly?
He thought his penis should be lengthened.
His penis was so big.
I mean, I guess he figures Hunter gets from somewhere.
I mean, maybe his penis is so small it's treasonous. So
yeah, one or the other, it's treasonous.
He needs to become hung. That's the I got it. That's it right there.
Fair enough.
I literally was looking at that on Twitter as Earl said it, which is pretty funny. But yeah, people are a little crazy, aren't they? Like, Biden's, the most normal, non-whatever president ever, and these fucking people got themselves whipped up into frenzies about, I don't know what. Hunter Biden's fucking prostitutes? Okay. And? What? I don't understand what the problem here is.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. They're so desperate to find a problem that they're creating stuff. Basically to cover from the other guy who's did so many stuff that you kind of forget what you're
out and open and super obvious and it's just alright, yeah, son's kind of a fuck up. Okay, and that's it's this big international conspiracy somehow, and you're alright, it doesn't make any sense, but I guess, you know, enjoy your, like, going nuts over this. Like, he's, like, the most inoffensive person ever, Biden. He's just, like, this old, like, nice grandpa guy. It's like, okay. Yeah, he's fucking some secret fucking, who knows? I don't know what they believe. It's whatever they believe, it's insane.
But yes, it, outside of this insanity, it has been it's been a decent year for games, I think. So
games, awesome.
Yeah,
games was more than a decent game or decent year for games.
Yeah. But while we played a lot of good stuff, what's your guys' like biggest disappointment for the year?
Disney, that platformer. I don't even remember the name of it. It sucked ass. The Metroid.
Yeah,
I don't think it sucked ass, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of like
Illusion Island.
Yeah, expectations versus what it was. I mean, and that's just the first thing that popped to mind to me. I would have to look it over.
Sonic.
Just interested,
like, to kind of like wondering what your expectations for Illusion Island were.
I don't know. Like, I just thought the game was lame. Like, it was like,
fair enough.
Yeah,
I liked it.
I was honestly like, because when it was announced, I did not know that it was a Metroid type game, and that made it cooler to me. I was like, oh, I'm more excited to play it. But then I was playing, I'm like,
it's like baby's like, first Metroid.
Like, yeah, but like, it wasn't like it was bad. It wasn't bad. It was just bland. And, like, I'm trying to think, like, that was just the first one that, like, leapt to my mind as a game that I was, like, so excited for, and it being just like, it was okay.
Fair enough, fair.
But there was something else too.
All right, I got one while you think about it.
Go ahead.
NBA 2K24.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't, like, the 23 version had so much like personality, and this one came out and was just so soulless and empty. Like, the basketball was fine, and actually playing the game was okay, but it just took all of the charm and everything that last year's game had, and it was just absent. I can't imagine why they made all that money off of last year's game and then gave us this. Saddens me.
Yeah, fair enough.
The 2D Sonic game. Good first impression, and man, it starts to suck as it goes on. Like, the later levels and the bosses are just awful. And it sucks because I think the game looks really cool and generally plays totally fine and, like, would be an awesome 2D Sonic game, but, like, damn, they, like, really fucking... Maybe there's some people who liked it, but I did not, ultimately. And I generally like most Sonic games.
Which one was that? What was the name of that one again?
Superstars.
Superstars, right.
All because yeah, you want to be a superstar.
That's Earl, did you have one?
Is it just a game or
life?
Whatever you were disappointed.
Life was very disappointing. I'll agree with that, Earl. Life was very disappointing.
Oh no, because I was going to be very generic and just kind of say, for as great as the content was this year, the other side of the coin was we saw so many companies and individuals laid off or closed down and stuff like that. And just to kind of see the disconnect between I think, you know, when you sit down and write 2023 in terms of what came out, it's going to be an all-timer.
Yeah.
On the flip side, we saw, I think, over 1,000, I think, people laid off in a variety of capacities. And I mean, if anything, I would say Embracer, probably the most disappointing thing, because Embracer, we've talked about for years, have bought these people, they're going to revive this brand. And then most of this year was them walking back, like, oh, we shot way past the sun. We have to walk back a lot of this stuff. We are killing stuff dead.
Yeah, we have to, they shut down Volition, They just shut down the Time Splitters people, Free Radical, like a bunch of stuff that like they had announced, like just gone, dead now, like never to see the light of day. Super disappointing.
No Time Splitters 4?
Nope.
No, and I think some of the unique art came from that too, because that was not even the shutdown. And I think we talked about it last week, Free Radical.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but like some of the art leak, apparently, I guess it was at some point a all-night multi, I forget what it was, and then they're like, oh, it's just going to end up morphing into a remake of Time Splitters 2 for some of the art. But yeah, like stuff like that where like we've had so many studios and projects that were just, again, we would also say, I think it's on our Game of the Year is, like, there was a ton of like services. Oh, wait, okay. That was my main answer. The other answer I want to put out too, and it's not a disappointment, just because I think it's dumb and I still really don't know what it means. Multiverses, where it's like, you've been out for a year. Oh, we're not actually out. We're going to go back to programming, I guess, and re-release at some point. Like, that is still such a dumb decision to me. I don't get.
Yeah, we're going to take game? This thing. It's like the Smash clone.
With the Warner Brothers.
Yeah, like you could fight Batman and
they unreleased
Shaggy.
It.
Yeah. It was in early access, which normally that stays live.
And yeah, you like, keep working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that for a year. They're like, oh, actually, it's not ready, so we're going to do this.
Weird. I do remember us talking about this, but that is just so weird.
Yeah, that was such a weird decision. Because it's like, wait, so you're just going to take it? Because it wasn't even, because they had people buy into it.
And yeah, then like people were buying season passes and characters and... We'll say at least like when Speedstorm was in early access, like you could not buy anything additional in that game. Like there was no way to buy coins or any currency or anything. Like the only, if you bought the founding thing or whatever, like you got your season pass, but there was no way to buy anything individually. In that game prior to it actually releasing. Multiverses was just taking people's money left and right.
Crazy.
Super shitty. My answer is, and I think this is ultimately I think it's a good game, but Diablo 4.
You know what? A lot of people are with you, Chris. I'm gonna let you finish, but I just don't disagree. I just don't agree with people that hated it. But anyways,
I don't hate it. I just like I think it has a great opening 8 or so hours, and then it is just a slog from there on out. And I've never felt that way with Diablo before, where it's like. It may be the open world nature, the design that they've given it this time. So previously you were kind of doing levels, like there was an open area, but that's all you were exploring. But now it's just, I don't know what about it, but leveling just seems to take forever. The loot sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not particularly fun. Like, keep like poking at it to get to the end of my first run, and it's
you haven't even finished the campaign.
No,
I can't finish it either. I have the same problem with Chris. Like, I'm like, what's the good part? What's the part I'm enjoying that makes me keep playing through this? And I can't answer the question, and so I stopped.
And I
that
think
game was a shot
visually...
of adrenaline for me through the campaign. I loved through the campaign, and that's where I'm like, that's where I differ with people. I'm like, the campaign is awesome. I had a blast.
I think the opening 8 hours, which isn't like that, you know, that old like, you know, you have the old cities and stuff, like that all that stuff looks really cool. And then you get out of that area, and I think the environments kind of suck. They're not fun.
The environments are varied enough.
So much time in those other places too.
Yeah, and the other unfortunate thing is, like, the coolest area was also the part, it wasn't the demo, was it a technical test? Like, yeah. I already played through that area for 6 hours, and so I came back, and it's the same thing over again, identical. And then when I got to the new area, and it wasn't better. They sort of ruined it.
I am glad you enjoyed it, though, Jeff.
I think you guys are in the very large majority at this point with that game. But to me, it was Diablo, but the combat felt better to me, and I loved having the open world. Like, I was in heaven with that game, and I played it longer than both my wife and my good buddy are, like, big fans of Diablo, and, like, I was pulling them along, like, let's keep going after the campaign. We're doing stuff. My only problem with the game was after the campaign, I stopped getting better loot. And that was, like, that's a huge problem to me, because it's, like, it's kind of the point of this, right? Like,
yeah, like, you want to keep, like, when I kind of hit that wall in the, again, Diablo 3 and Diablo 2 as well, like, every time, like, you're kind of going on, like, you're getting new shit, like, every few minutes, like, might not be every battle, but every couple battles, like, you're getting a new weapon, a new chess piece or something.
Yeah, that's the hook.
I don't feel like I'm changing any of my armor or my weapons.
So many things are like a trade off. It's like, oh, well, this is better, but that's not. And you're just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I want my numbers to go up.
Yeah, when does it just get better? And I think that's something that they, like, hugely fucked up. And I think they could fix that, probably. I'll put it this way. Up until, like, a month or two ago, a couple months ago, that was my game of the year, was Diablo 4.
And I could totally see that for you. Yeah. Understand.
But, you know, that's changed several times since. Put it that way.
I really wish that I liked Diablo 4 more than I do. I don't think it's bad. It is not as good as what I was
kind of so for, surprised. I'm just so surprised by the fans turning so hard against it, because to me it's kind of like this awesome combination of 2 and 3. Like, it kind of combines things that I love about both of those to make this one, and then mix it open world, and so, like, I really love it. Like, I really do. Like, it kind of bums me out that other people that are Diablo fans are just like, yeah, nah, this game sucks. Okay,
I don't think it sucks. Like, it's just they're like, it does bums me out a little bit too. Like, that it just did not hit for me.
I'm digging it. God damn, I don't got a downer note here.
All right, one other thing that I had on my list before we get to Hall of Fame. Not game-related, but you guys read anything this week? And not this week, this year? You read any books?
Reading?
Reading. Like, you know, paper.
When words.
I used to do that, then Twitter came out.
Then I took an arrow to the knee.
Anything you guys would suggest?
If it counts, even though it kind of falters at the end. I know you and Jeff are horror fans. I don't think it's from this year. I think it's a year prior, maybe older. The Final Girl Support Group.
Oh, I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is, I mean, a lot of, what is the right word? Not homages to, so a lot of them are homages, like, you know, Final Girls from, Heather is the name of the actress. Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street, folks from, like, Friday the 13th, Laurie Strode from Halloween. So it's like it's homages to them who have survived, like, different types of slasher films a century, and they come together to, I mean, have a support group, and then people start killing off people in the support group. And so it's like them now trying to figure out what's going on, who's doing this, and stuff like that. It is a fun kind of, like, I don't want to say, it's not horror, it's not comedy, it's, I guess it's more of a drama, but set on the backdrop of, like, what happens after a horror movie. On the same note, this is a bit older, there is a There's a really decent horror film I watched a few years ago that dealt with the same thing, where it's like, what happened to a final girl after the credits roll? And it's like, so the movie starts in medias res with her at the end of a horror film, and then it jumps forward to the ass to a year later, and her trying to reacclimate herself to the real world. I believe it's called The Last Girl Standing. And again, kind of the same concept, but it's very fun. Because, I mean, again, we're horror fans. We kind of know, like, you know Sydney, you know Nancy, you know Rory, you know Allison, and all those others. It's kind of interesting to kind of pick up the ball after they survive all that. And, like, how do you have a normal life? How do you develop relationships? Do you develop relationships? Are you ever really okay? I think the book does a decent job of exploring that for the most part. Like I said, I do think it kind of falters near the end, but like some of the backstory is really fun.
Nice. Tony, you read anything notable this year?
Like a book?
Yeah, like a book.
I mean, I've read so many books this year, it's kind of crazy. I don't know. I've been working through Wheel of Time. It's good.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the second to last book. The problem with those books, they're all like 1,000 pages long, so it takes forever. I have no idea how they wrote this whole series.
Well, didn't the
he died?
The writer die,
the
right?
Original author died, and it was finished by someone else.
So you recommend Wheel of Time though?
Absolutely. Yeah. I actually think that the guy who finished the series is probably a better writer than the guy who started it. But the other guy like establishes a good world, a really exciting world. And I think the first few books are really, really good. And then the others, there's a lot of slogging, separating like really, really fun parts. And so you kind of have to like earn it. They're probably too long. For the most part, like you could probably cut down each book by 300-400 pages and be left with all the good parts. But whatever. I've enjoyed it. I'm going to finish this series, especially since I only have 2 books left.
Yeah, might as well at that point, because there's like, what, 13 of them or something?
Yeah, there's also a prequel. I don't know if I'll read the prequel, but clear victory at the end.
Yeah, and I've heard good things about the... Is it Amazon? Are they the ones that were doing the TV show?
I've watched the both seasons. I really, really like the show. It is faithful to the world of the books, if not necessarily to the events of the books.
Mm, okay.
Which I think is fine as long as it still tells a good story, which it does. Yeah, like you'll see the characters in the show are very similar in makeup, but the storyline drifts, which I mean makes sense because storylines you have in books can't necessarily be recreated in film and vice versa. So you can have like sequences in a story where you can see it from the person's perspective the whole time and see what they're thinking, and it's harder to convey that in a TV show. So maybe you have to do things differently. But I like both.
And Jeff, you have not read anything this year?
Yeah, the last book I read was Mr. Mercedes. So
it was those years ago. So.
Ways back. I liked it. And I liked the adaptation of it too. I thought the whatever the fuck weird network they did that show for. I thought
it was pretty good. It was on something for DirecTV.
Yeah, but now it's like it's available now somewhere.
It's on. Widely. It's either on Peacock or Paramount. Yeah. You can watch it on one.
It's worth checking out if you like the book. And I thought that was a great book. But yeah, we're talking about a book that's what
you should
6-7 years old or something.
You should. What I mean, he has. So Mr. Mercedes series. was the first of a trilogy. And
he's
then
obsessed
he has,
with this character now.
He has released three additional books with the sub-character from that series. Yeah, his new book, Holly, just came out in September.
Then there was that character. There was that show on HBO, The Outsiders,
which yep,
was her as well.
Yep, that was based on a another book that he wrote, starring her. I like Holly. She's a good character.
Well, he likes her too, apparently, because it's like his thing now. I just don't. It was really. It makes me kind of sad because I love reading. I love reading, but it's just like, I don't know. Movie goes quicker.
You know? True. So I guess with speaking of Stephen King, the one King book I read this year was his book from last year called Fairy Tale, which is like his. It's kind of his take on like Jack and the Beanstalk.
Great cover.
spiral down, like it's going down into this other world. It's a boy and his dog. I think it's a really great fantasy novel. It's not if you go to Stephen King for horror, it's not that, but I think it is a fun fantasy story.
He does a lot of fantasy, though. Like, he's done.
Yes.
I would put all of the Dark Tower in fantasy and the Talisman and all that. And so, yeah, in that vein,
it's not necessarily as dark as like the Dark Tower stuff, or the Talisman. It's maybe a little bit darker than Eyes of the Dragon.
Okay. All right.
So it's like in that vein, though. It's like Eyes of the Dragon type.
Okay.
It's good stuff. It is a long book, though. But his writing is getting, I mean, he's always released long books, but still very long winded, not in a bad way. Like, he's a master storyteller. So, it is like a 600 page book.
It's cool. Cause I've read most of his popular books, but there's going to be so much I could dig into at some point down the road that are from later in his career.
Oh yeah, like he retired like 15, 20 years ago and has released two books a year since then. So
the last thing he wrote that I really loved was, I think it was called Just After Sunset, which was a collection of short stories.
Yeah.
Some of which have been adapted. One of them, I know 1922, I think it was from that, and it was adapted into a film for Netflix. I thought that was good. Nobody gave a fuck, but I thought it was good.
I think I saw that one.
It was like what the fuck is his name? Thomas Jane.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw it.
Punisher?
Yeah.
Yes. But not the new Punisher. Different.
No.
The second movie Punisher or third movie Punisher?
Second movie Punisher.
Yeah. Dolph Lundgren was the first, right?
Oh, is he? I don't know if I've seen the first one. The first one's like a 90s TV movie. It might be a 1990 TV movie.
Mm. Anyway, so yeah, I just was just wondering what you guys were up to reading wise.
An embarrassing failure on that front.
That's all next year. I'm gonna have to like read books so I have more to talk about. Which is even dumpy worse for somebody who works at a library. You don't even have excuses not to go.
You have all the books at your disposal, Earl. All right. It is time, since we are wrapping up the year here. We're going to induct the final batch of 2023 Hall of Fame inductees. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Oh, go ahead. All right. Go ahead.
Because mine's not that interesting and whatever. Because I told you guys this one was coming back when Tony selected a game in the series last year. Mine is like, I doubt anyone here will agree with me, but I'm sorry. It just is for me. And that's Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance.
I'm with you on that. I love that game.
I love that game. Like, look, it's like very simplistic, and there's only three classes, and whatever. But like, that was the game that got me into RPGs. That was like the first RPG I played, and I fell in love with it. I bought it for my GameCube. I bought it for my buddy's PlayStation 2. The water effects were fucking amazing. And that game, like, you know, I played it recently. I played it last year when they re-released it. I think it was last year. And I think it's still very fun to play through. Like, and the atmosphere still holds up on this game that is, like, old. And, you know, not as impressive as it was at one time, but, like, the atmosphere is just still there. And it's just a fun romp. Like, it's just, you know, run through these, I don't know, three acts or whatever and fucking kill everything. And it kind of just introduced me to that, like, whole fantasy RPG, like, setting. And
it also introduced you to that, like, Diablo style gameplay where loot,
all of it,
loot drops, and
it propelled me forward to today to where, like, that's my favorite thing to play is that, like, and maybe not just that, but also, like, the new Baldur's Gate I'm playing today, I'm playing because I played the console one that came back, you know, the action RPG one that came out 20 years ago or whatever. I don't know. Again, it's like, I know it's not one that's, like, held in high esteem with everybody, but it's just like, dude, that game made me fall in love with, you know, fantasy setting, RPGs, all that. Like, Diablo-style gameplay. So, that is my choice.
Great couch co-op, too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Although, My friend would probably, my buddy that I would play this game with would probably disagree, as I would always steal the shit that was in front of him. You're stealing my loot, man. Stop it.
Yeah.
But working on the bosses together where you're like, all right, I can revive. You kind of circle around. You know what I mean? Like, I'll come in and revive you. Yeah. Like, it's been surpassed in the years since, but man, I still love playing through that first one.
Ton of fun.
Okay, I'm just going to piggyback off of Jeff because I have a very similar game, which was not actually going to be my choice when I started this podcast, but between the news and Jeff's discussion, it feels like it's very topical, and it's also one that I do love. X-Men Legends.
Interesting.
I love that game too.
I mean, it's very much, I mean, again, partially because, like, Insomniac and all that news around, like, Wolverine and the X-Men universe, but, like, I was also reminded of that game this week because I enjoy Marvel Ultimate as well, but I feel like X-Men Legends just was a better experience because, like, they had something to prove back then, and it was like, we're going to give you these X-Men and give you, like, a really rich story. Like, a lot of them, I feel like, gets too hung up in the weeds now. I like Darker Alliance, not Darker Alliance. What is the Twitch one called? Dark Order? Whatever. I like that.
I don't know.
I don't have two so much. That's Civil
War. Part 3.
Yeah, Black Order.
I don't remember, but I thought Part 3 was awesome. I mean, I can't compare it to the first two because it's been so long, but...
Yeah, but I think the X-Men game, because it was just the X-Men, a lot of it worked. You had a much smaller playground, so you could focus on the characters and the stories and how they interacted. And for me, and it's always kind of one of those things, like, you have to be there. But for me, it also came out at the right time. Like, this came out, I think, sophomore year of college, when it was very easy for me to get four people in a room together to play this game on a couch. And I think there were some negatives, like, the, you know, like graphically, a lot, because it's top down. A lot of characters are very similar color wise, which is why Iceman became one of my favorite X-Men, because he was a translucent blue character you could see against everybody else on the map. I always went with him.
You know what's funny is I think I was a sophomore in college when I played Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, it's just something.
It's just about that's where you play with your friends. That was the time.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I like online game, and I'm appreciative of it. I mean, we play online. I play with my friends. You know, I have several set dates throughout the week, and it's great. But there is something to be said about being in the same room, you know, fighting and pushing and pulling together. and there was just like nothing really. And because this is a cooperative game, you're working together, like Jeff was saying, like you're working together, you're trying to share roots, you're trying to level up, you're trying not to be a jerk and doing it while everybody was just, you know, like you're making sure, like, oh, I'm full in health, I'm not going to steal these health potions, or like, it was like they dropped like orbs or whatever. So you're trying, or mana, and it's like you want to make sure that, and you know, let's be honest, you don't always do it, but you're trying. And the fact that you get that instant feedback with somebody pushing you or, you know, calling you names or whatever, it was just a grand time. And it's such a great game. I wish that the licensing would for that whole universe, because I think the O29's games also fall into that, weren't such crapshoots where like we could play them on modern systems, but it was just the right, you know, right type of game at the right time of life. And I think they're just fantastic experiences.
Fully agree. Those games are great. All right, I'll go. Earl, you mentioned the Insomniac leaks, which kind of what spawned my pick here. Ratchet and Clank, which I'm surprised I have not suggested in the previous 5 years.
None of them are on it, is it?
No, we have no Ratchet and Clanks on here at all. So I'm gonna put one in here. One that I enjoy that entire series, top to bottom, because they are a fun mix of platforming and shooting. Insomniac's great with coming up with fun weapons. The shooting always feels good in those games. And that first game has some really iconic levels that they've, you know, kind of rehashed in subsequent games, including the remake they did in 2016. I am putting in the original Ratchet and Clank.
I always have fun with those games, but I feel weird weighing in here because like I always like love them when I play them, but like they just don't stick with me. Like
I can see where you'd be like, yeah, they're fun at the time, and I move on. But I
think stick it, in my head like a Mario or whatever. Like
you're always happy when a new one comes out.
I always enjoy them, and I'm always like kind of blown away by the production values. And then they usually have some like interesting hook to them. But I don't think I've ever played the first one. I got in on PS3 with that series,
which a lot of people did when they did the Tools of Destruction and then A Crack in Time.
Yep, those are the ones I played. Yeah,
and they're very good games. I think the original four are also great. And it kind of set the foundation. And
I wish they would make, I mean, they still make them, but it's like, to me, when I saw the Insomniac leaks, I was like, oh no, they're doing that. This is just what it is now. I like Ratchet for Insomniac, I like Ratchet and Clank best. Just throwing it out there.
I mean, out of Sony's stuff, I like Ratchet and Clank best. Like,
probably. Probably.
Yeah, I forgot if we mentioned it during the Insomniac week, but like Jeff mentioned, it's like, you know, they're focusing so much on more. But like, I think it also came out that Sunset Overdrive made them make $500.
So going back to how, like, without context, Earl, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But Microsoft paid them to make that game. So that $500 is like extra money they made. But they made money, like they weren't like, I mean, I'm sure there was some like shitty Warner Brothers behind the scenes math going on that kept them from getting their their extra royalty payouts, but they got paid up front for that game. So it wasn't like, oh, we only made $500 and it lost so much money. Like, no, they came out okay with that. Microsoft might not have. Doesn't sound like it's sold very well, but Tony, what do you got?
All right, so I'm actually going to nominate a game from a series I'm currently mad at.
NBA 2K7.
No, actually, but you're on the right track. John Madden Football.
So, okay.
Do we not have a Madden on here yet?
We don't have a Madden on there.
All right, yeah.
And I'm going way back to the original, which was groundbreaking in the fact that John Madden put his name on it and then insisted that the game include 11 players on the field, which took them 5 years to figure out.
No, I've heard this.
Technologically, it was, and if you played other football games, like, it would break it down. Like, you would have the quarterback running around with the lineman, and then you would throw the ball, and then it would switch to the receiver because they couldn't show it all on the screen at the same time. But Madden went and he made them figure it out, and it took 5 years. And then it took another 4 years to 5 years to put it on a PC that wasn't even a PC. It was an Apple computer. And then 4 years later, it launched on a console and they figured it out. They made football playable and it was real football. Like, John Madden gave them like the 1980 Raiders playbook. And it's like, we're going to use real plays. We're going to make it realistic. And this was like the foundation of all these other super realistic sports games that came along. And of course, it also founded like the best selling sports franchise that there is. Now, have they ruined it in recent years? Yes.
That makes me sad. I wish
it makes me very sad. But
I used to love playing Madden.
It's been, you know, 30 years and there's been some really awesome games in the series. And, you know, maybe there are downtimes. I don't know.
So, was the first Madden, was it the camera angle that we are accustomed to where it's like behind the quarterback? Or is it like the side view?
It was, everything was very small. So you were behind the quarterback, but it was.
But it wasn't like Tecmo Bowl where it's like you're like looking at like a hockey game.
That was like top down. I think the original was top down though, now that I think about it.
Yeah, it's how you perceive it to be now, Jeff. It's up and down. You played up and down.
Well, that was kind of a new thing because, like, you think about the other football. That was another new thing. Like, the other football games at the time presented it.
How it was sideways.
On TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, it made it hard to play. Or not, it made it hard to play, but it just.
No, it made it hard to play those other games because you're not playing it vertically, and that's how football should be played, right? You run north south, you don't run east west.
Yeah, even though that's how you watch it, and it always kills me. Like, the play starts, and we're watching like QB and the line play, and then the ball comes out, and you're like, oh, what's happening down the field? Oh, I can finally see it. Whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's a cool choice. I just hope that they bring back NCAA and like NFL Street or something akin to that.
I think NCAA is already coming back. Like,
Keep saying this.
Well, it was supposed to come out this year, I think, but it got delayed. And I think next year is the year that will reappear.
I think sadly, it'll be on the engine that they're using. It'll be not how I remember football being fun in the early 2000s. Like,
no, it's gonna be college football, but Madden.
Yeah, and it's like,
and the last couple of Maddens have been broken. So.
It just doesn't feel right. Like, to me, they're not fun to play anymore. Like, but I'm also like not a great football mind. Like, I'm like an arcade football mind. Like, yeah, it'd be fun, but no, it's the last one I played was not fun.
So the other interesting thing about the original John Madden Football, he didn't have the NFL license. All the teams in it were made up.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't until, was it 94?
94. 94 was the first one.
Wow, what was the original on?
Apple. Like, it was on.
As Tony said, they did eventually release it on console, so you could play it on Genesis. It was a green and yellow case.
It was called John Madden Football.
John Madden Football.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think the teams were just like what Buffalo and Philly and
right.
Like,
they were named after cities. They didn't have.
And I think 93 had real players. Like maybe he had the NFLPA at that point, but yeah, there was no NFL branding until later, which is wild.
That is so crazy.
Now you think of it, the two, you can't separate the two now at this point.
Yeah. Right? Unfortunately.
Like Madden means the NFL football game.
Yeah.
I'm curious how many people hear Madden and think of the football game and don't know who the commentator is.
Yeah, it's probably a decent amount of people that don't know.
When did he retire from?
Bro was dead for a couple of years now, so we're getting old.
He died in 2021. Announcing career. He stopped announcing in 2008, it looks like. That doesn't seem right.
No, that's probably right.
Is it, dude, it that's the thing.
So long ago.
Yeah, you know why? Sad thing to tell you. You're getting old.
No, Jeff, shut up.
Like, time is a horrible, horrible thing that's happening to all of us, unfortunately. We're documenting it here on this. It's really sad.
So, yeah, John Madden retired 15 years ago.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. All right. Yep.
Yeah. And to Jeff's point, he's been deceased for 2 years this month. So yeah, but like, it's one of those things where I have one of my best friends works at a university, and he's like so befuddled when he tells like kids or students that like Cool J was a rapper before he was an actor, and I'm like, oh god, most people probably know him as an actor these days
because there's so many instances of that where you like you tell someone that like they're adults. I talk to people who are adults. They're just younger than me, and I'm like, yeah, do you know this or that? And you're like, no, never heard of it. Never heard of this person. Never heard of that. Didn't realize this. And you're like, dude, what? Yeah. Sucks. Sucks.
The one that I think of, I forget the name, David Burr, that I forget. But like so many people know him more from Bones than like Buffy and Angel.
Oh, Dave Boreanaz.
Yes, and even then he was also on that CBS show SWAT or something like that. Or is he that show still on? I don't know, but it's like it's stuff like that where it's like, oh, there's just like a weird like culture gap in like what you know people for and. Yeah, because I think you were about to say Marky Mark. And yeah, I feel like most people probably don't think of him as a musician. To be fair, hearing his music, I would also probably not think of him as a musician. But
you want to fuck up your mind? There's probably a huge chunk of people now who only know Donald Trump as a political figure.
Yeah. To be fair, everything else was just a failed business.
But it's like that's how we come to him. We know him as like this like goofball, like your fucking fail son. And then there's people that are like grew up on him as he was the president, which is like fuck, crazy. Man. Yeah. not to bring it back to Trump for any reason, but like. I thought about that the other day. I'm like, there's people that like probably don't realize he was just like someone people kind of looked down upon. Like,
yeah.
Or he was just like the dude that showed up in Home Alone too. Like, it's
one of those things like you learn when you get older. Cause it's like if you ever filmed anything in one of his buildings, that was like a stipulation is that he had to make an appearance or he cameoed. Really? Yeah. That was one of like the rules or he gets mentioned. Because it's so weird to like, always hear like shows, like old shows reference like Donald Trump and being like, yeah.
I did not know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. The other one that, you know, he has a different reputation over the past, like, 2 years is Will Smith. I feel like so few people remember that he was
had a music career. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a weird thing to think about now, but, like, I remember, in hindsight, but, like, people were afraid of him being an Independence Day because at the time he was a TV star that they didn't think had any box office appeal. And to think that the guy went on to be like Mr. Box Office like 20 years after that. But the fact that, like, yeah, he's a rapper who was like in a really good sitcom, but he was probably not the best character in that sitcom. He was definitely not the best actor in that sitcom.
No.
To becoming like a global household name in movies. And, like, yeah, there's a lot of people who probably don't. And then now him and his wife or not wife are doing or not doing. Or
shit, they're doing some stuff.
Yeah, so. That is a whole other thing.
But I could imagine that, yeah, there's people who, like, would not know him for anything, honestly. Which is crazy because he's like you're one of the biggest stars.
Yeah, now, I mean, maybe Suicide Squad because that did make a decent amount of money. And I guess he was Genie, so
I mean, he's a great actor.
That was over $1 billion.
Yeah, that's gonna be wild too, right? People know Will Smith as the Genie from Aladdin, as opposed to, you know, Robin Williams as the Genie.
Though I'm also curious about it from our end, because I'm sure there's stuff like that. Like, it's a very small window, but, like, I have a Twitter follower who's, like, watching Moonlighting, and I'm like, oh.
Bruce Willis, right?
Yeah, I know. Very small.
No, but it's a really popular show, but it's, like, such a small window of, like, you know, Bruce Willis from Moonlighting versus, you know, Bruce Willis from Die Hard.
I mean, I know Bruce Willis was in Moonlighting, but I know him from Die Hard.
Yes. Yeah. But, because, like, Moonlighting came out like 3 years before, but, like, Die Hard blew up.
I think where our generation does not know as well as, like, the golden age. Like, if you've been born like 10 years earlier, like if you've been born 1970 or 1960, you would kind of, like, know, like, those, like, you know, we were aware of them, but, like, those big actors that were around then and those movies more. But I feel pretty filled in on from when I was born on. But
again, it depends. Like, I think somebody I think of who's before our time, but I'm always curious to see what people think of first, is somebody like how do you pronounce the guy's name? But Mickey from Rocky?
Burgess Meredith.
Yes.
Yeah,
because I will be so honest with you, it took me way too many years to realize he's also the Penguin in the Adam West Batman series.
He's also
didn't know that.
He is in a great episode of The Twilight Zone. He's awesome in it. I can't remember what it's called.
Oh,
but
man, that also reminds me. I've been watching Columbo, and Columbo is such a fascinating time capsule of seeing, like, people either before he became famous or people, like, it has a Dick Van Dyke, I think. I saw another episode. It has Donald Pleasence, Donald Pleasence is another one, I think. Because I feel like
he was like somebody, like, people from the 70s would have known him from things, you know what I mean? Yes. But we know him from Halloween.
But I also know him from Bond.
Oh, really? I
believe he's Drofeld in one of the movies.
Hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm almost certain he was, like, Drofeld in one of the Bond movies. Yeah, you have it twice.
Well, I need a drink on that note.
Well, before you say good night, Jeff, we have a 10th slot here. Do we have something to slide in there as our as our number 10.
I mean, I got something I like to slide in.
All right, no, well, that's different.
What
different.
What do you do with these games, Jeff?
Do we have a game we want to give a free pass?
I mean, I have something I like to give a free pass.
That doesn't even make sense.
Oh my god. Why do you encourage him, Chris? This is your fault. This is your fault.
Absolutely. We gave Pokemon Red and Blue, I believe, our joint entry.
Do we have last Tetris?
Okay,
Tetris is in. Yes,
I was gonna say here's our free pass game, Pong. I don't think we
have Pong in there.
We do not have Pong. I'm okay with that.
Fucking failed, and we should have Pong. There you go.
Done.
All right,
Pong.
All right, Pong. Well, everybody have a great holiday. We'll be back in the new year to recap 2023 before we do our game of the year stuff.
Game of the year, game of the year.
Jeff,
go on.
Say goodnight.
Goodnight.